This is the iPhone LA Podcast, Episode 6, for May 31st, 2008. Welcome to the iPhone LA Podcast. I'm Michael Johnston, and this is the show that discusses all things iPhone. For the latest iPhone news, tips, and reviews every day, check out iPhoneLA.com. So let me introduce our panel. Starting off, we have Mr. Bill Palmer from iProng Magazine. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
I'm sitting in a hotel on Hollywood Boulevard, marveling the miracle of hotel Wi-Fi.
Excellent. Well, it sounds fine, so that doesn't happen pretty often, so that's good that it's working out. So how is it being back in L.A.? How long were you gone?
Way too long, I'll put it that way. And it feels good to be back, except I'm still doing the whole apartment hunting game right now. So
right.
Sort of look to exhale and, hang out with my with my peeps here on iPhone Alley.
Yes.
Sorry, I was just channeling something there.
That's fine. So next we have our own Edward Kirk from iPhoneLA.com. Hey, Ed.
Hello.
How was your week?
It was interesting. Well, not that interesting, but it was good.
You covered the you really held down the fort for us this week, especially. I think the entire week, and I'll talk about this in a minute. But I've just been coding away with CSS and PHP and all that fun stuff at the website all week. So you did a really good job holding down the fort with all the news and the front end stuff. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, thanks. I try.
And finally, we have the amazing Mr. Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
How's it going for you today?
It's going good. I'm really excited to do something besides coding. How was the museum?
Oh, the museum was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. And through a wonderful coincidence of timing, I was actually there when the space shuttle launched. So I got to watch it in the museum on a big screen with really big speakers. That's the way to watch a shuttle launch if you can't be there.
So I didn't know that there was a shuttle launching.
Yeah. The shuttle launched this afternoon.
I don't follow that stuff. I wish I did. I'm not that big of a geek. I do tend to catch that stuff on Twitter and all that. You know, when the lunar eclipse happened and when the Phoenix or something, the Mars thing.
Right. That was actually last Sunday, and
yeah.
I was at the museum for that. That was not a coincidence. I went to see some presentations. And for everyone that's wondering which museum, Denver Museum of Nature and Science.
That's really cool. So they just show those sort of special NASA things
right.
there on
they,
the big
They
screen.
Had a bunch of experts come in and talk, and people that were involved in designing the Phoenix system. And very cool.
Awesome.
So I guess I'm lucky to be in Denver, where we have a museum that's this proactively involved in space exploration. So go Denver Museum of Nature and Science.
Awesome.
I should send them a bill for that plug.
You should. We should definitely do that. So let's start off with let's go into the news, rather. The first story is the one I'm most excited about is our new look. We have a new face to iPhone Alley, and so I should probably explain the whole, whatever story it is relevant, whatever portions of the story that are relevant. We started iPhone Alley back April of last year, I believe, something like that, and we started off with we refer to it as Revision 1, and it was a WordPress blog that was just some random template that we found. It looked like an iPhone, basically. You've probably seen that around if you do a lot of iPhone blog hunting. It's been around. So then we decided at some point, to graduate to our own design. And so I designed that myself, and we use Drupal as the back end for that. And it turned out pretty well. We enjoyed it for quite some time, and we got a lot of good use out of it. And it gave us a unique look as a website. So I was really happy with it. But around November, because I have this designer mentality, I got really tired of the look. So, and there were some problems with it, and I won't go into that. So I started in November of last year. I actually started working on the new design for iPhone Alley Revision 3, and not to be confused with Kevin Rose's company. But so I think we're going to call it iPhone Alley 3 or version 3, something like that. We're not going to go with the 3.0 because the .0 thing is just way overused.
Well, how about iPhone Alley Mark 3?
Mark 3, that works. Sounds like a spaceship.
iPhone Alley and the Kingdom of the Crystal. Wait a minute, never mind.
That's the next one. He's going to wait a few years and then come out with that.
Come out with the one that kind of sucked, but it was okay.
But hey, it's nostalgic. So, you know, the people that have been following the site for years and years, that they'll really appreciate it.
Right. Have you guys seen the new movie?
Yes. Yeah.
What did you think of it, Jeff?
You know, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. But I went to see the movie with the expectation that I was just escaping for a little while. And I was expecting nothing more than just a fun little ride. And I got what I expected, and I thought it was a lot of fun. Although I think I might call Steven Spielberg and have a chat with him about how I would have done the ending of the movie.
Yeah, it was a little overblown, and we're not going to get into, details of it because I'm sure not everyone has seen it, and I hate spoilers. So
spoilers suck.
I did see it. I enjoyed it, you know, like you said, just using it as viewing it as just a movie and you're going to try and enjoy it and not really expect anything besides that out of it. That's the safest bet. And I know, Bill, you're the one who actually brought it up. What did you think of the movie?
I thought they, you know, it was good, not great, but they managed to avoid the Star Wars mistake, which was let's take these, you know, original, silly, cheesy concept and try to be real sanctimonious with the movies we do down the road. Like episode one was supposed to be so serious, and it's like, no, it's a cheesy foundation. And so they succeeded by just doing another cheesy indie movie, and I thought it worked on that level.
Okay. Ed, you didn't see it, did you?
No.
Okay.
All right, so Ed, your homework is you have to go see this and report back next week.
Hey, do they have it in the iTunes store? Oh, no, they wouldn't.
No, they don't. It's still in theaters.
Yeah, dang.
It's going to be wild. They don't have any of the indie movies. None of them.
Really?
I was going to rent them all and watch them before I went on the plane or something.
Well, then you'd ruin it. Then you'd have all these expectations. But let's get back. The train is totally derailed, and I let it happen to see, because I don't think we've actually full on rat holed on the show yet. So I wanted to see what would happen. But bringing it back, our new look, it took a long time to do. It's using an updated version of Drupal. We asked everybody a few months ago what they wanted out of the site, out of a new version of the site. And we got a lot of good suggestions, a lot of things that we agree with, and things that don't really have to do much with the design of it, of the site. We do plan to implement at least most of those suggestions later on. The most important thing relating to that is that we upgraded our Drupal install to 5.0. So I think we're a version behind again because they just came out with 6 a few months ago. But most of the modules are being written for 5 anyway. So it's going to allow really cool things, and we've got a lot of great plans for that. Besides that, we also updated the look of the forums as well. So it's fun to play around with that. It took a long time, and I was planning to do it tonight, and I sprung it on everybody and did it last night, so I could work out all the bugs over the weekend. So and Jeff, do you wanna give it a review? Because I know you. Well, first of all, what's your background? I know that you said you have a little bit of a design type of background. What is that? What do you do?
I spent years in the graphic design and printing industry, pre-press, all of that. And to give people a perspective on the graphic design end, I've been contributing editor for Design Tools Monthly for a few years, and I have a column in InDesign magazine. I write for Layers and Photoshop User magazine. So, you know, I've been deeply involved in this whole graphic design world for a long time. And that said, I like how your site looks. I think you did a great job.
Thank you. And yeah, I don't want to, you know, make this into a, you know, all eyes on me type of thing, but I really spent a lot of time on it. And it's just going to be absolutely amazing for me to finally start using it, but also get away from this like crazy, CSS/PHP coding craziness that I've been going through, especially really intensely this past week. So I'm going to really enjoy getting back to, you know, writing and doing all that other, the user interaction stuff. I'm going to come out of the cave and start, you know, talking to people again, because I don't think I got out of the house that much this week, unfortunately, but I got a lot done. So that works out. So we got a lot more coming around, the bend shortly. A lot of plans for the new site and the new software. So check that out. But check out for sure the new site design. If you haven't been to the site for a while and you just kind of keep it to your RSS reader, you know, iPhoneAlley.com and iPhoneAlley.com/forums. That's where most of the work has been done. We didn't actually have a theme last time, so it's I enjoyed bringing it to fruition. I'm not going to say that I enjoyed doing it. So.
Well, go you.
Thank you. So let's move into more iPhone-centric type stuff. There was this great article that I read last Saturday about smartphones and simplicity versus functionality. And I know that we've talked about this a little bit when we were talking about the Instinct versus iPhone. And I'm not sure which of you we actually talked about this with, but the basic gist of the article was that carriers over the years have been really focusing on features, and that's really the direction of where the tech industry as a whole kind of tends to go, because that's where the manufacturers and the designers can really relate to. They, you know, they add all these features and they say, hey, look, we have more features, and that's really the best way that they know how to improve upon their products and keep selling more things and make more money. And you see that with, you know, operating systems and hardware and all of that. But what the article really tries to point out is that for the most part, these smartphones especially, and I would argue that even standard consumer phones, are really difficult to use. They have a lot of features, but they're so difficult to use that the features really make it something that consumers don't want to.
It's okay,
to focus
just come
on.
Out and say it. It makes the phone suck.
It makes the phone suck. So what's your opinion on this whole subject? I don't think you guys read the article because it was rather lengthy. I know Ed and I both read it, but what's your take on this, Jeff? The whole subject of simplicity versus functionality in the current state of phones.
I have no opinion.
You have no opinion.
I said that with a straight face. I can't believe it. you know, I think that the whole cell phone market in general has gotten so wrapped up in creating features for the illusion of better products. And if you look at most of the features that are added to cell phones, really, they're there to make the carriers money. So any feature that most of these phones are getting are there in some form to be a revenue generator and not necessarily a feature to help the end user. So, you know, that ends up creating a situation where the features that you have may not be easily usable. And I will throw out the Motorola Razr as an example. I had one for a while, and basically I dialed it and made phone calls. And that was it.
And it definitely had more features than just simply dialing and talking to people.
It had a lot of features, but I didn't bother using them. Occasionally, I would take a picture with it, and that was it, because the features that were implemented were not implemented in a way that was easy for the end users. And so, yes, then you had that complexity thing going on, and to cut to the chase, that's why I'm really glad that Apple came out, one of the reasons that Apple came out with the iPhone, because their thing isn't, let's keep throwing more and more features in that users think they want. Let's put in the features they actually use and then make the phone easy to work with. And I think in the long run, even though users will always complain that an Apple product doesn't have this one feature that they would like, I contend that Apple is doing that because their engineers get what people actually want to do with the device and not what they think they want to do with the device. And that's where they've been going with the iPhone.
Right. And, you know, that's what I always thought about the iPhone when it first came out. When we were waiting in line at the AT&T store in my town, there was a news crew that came by and wanted to interview someone and talk about the iPhone and why it's a big deal. And the person that they ended up interviewing wanted to take it from a different angle than simplicity. And it was fine. You know, he talked about the fact that it was a new platform. And that wasn't something that really appeals to the general public because they don't understand why that's important. But it was good. It was definitely true. The way I would have taken it when they asked that question is that from a simplicity standpoint, because when I saw the iPhone, I hadn't had a phone in I'm guessing 4 years prior to the iPhone. I just stayed away from cell phones because they weren't easy to use, and I just didn't want to mess with them. I didn't really need them either because I was younger and that wasn't a big deal. But for the most part, it was because they weren't easy. When I saw the iPhone, I saw something that was drop-dead easy to use. And one of the really great examples of how easy the iPhone is to use is how you merge a call, for example, in the phone application. Because, I mean, you have call waiting on almost every phone now, okay? If not all of them. But how do you switch to the next call if someone calls in? Well, some phones have a, you know, answer thing that shows up on one of their two little, you know, their little pads sometimes. But other times you have to hit the little green button and, you know, the answer button twice and, you know, that kind of stuff. But for the iPhone, it's just, you know, tap to switch over or, you know, tap the two arrows that go into one arrow and it actually merges into one arrow. And so I think that just really shows how simple the iPhone really is. And it's really important to have a phone that just works and is extremely easy to use. And I think that's what Apple was going for with the first iPhone. And I think that's why it doesn't matter so much that there wasn't 3G in there. There wasn't GPS. There isn't TV in there. There aren't all these things that other phones had during that time. They just set out to make a phone, like you said, Jeff, with the features that most people needed that are ridiculously easy to use, all of these features. And so that's just the basic gist of the article. And Ed, I know you read the article too. What do you think about the current state of phones?
I think Jeff pretty much hit it on the head. I don't know. I thought that it was a really good article. It covered just about everything. I mean, like, let's see.
It was on computerworld.com.
Yeah,
and we'll actually link to it.
Computerworld.com. Mentioned that, CMO Council Forums to Advance the Mobile Experience, or FAME, discovered this thing called function fatigue. That involved users getting frustrated with their handsets having too many features or features that were too difficult to understand. And, like, I don't think people are going to have that problem with the iPhone even when it even when the App Store gets launched. I mean, even with all the extra functionality, I think Apple has created a device that'll be easy enough to use.
It is a platform. It's a platform built on simplicity.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bill, you wanna jump in on this? You have anything you want to mention on the simplicity versus functionality in smartphones?
I think all three of you nailed it, so I'll just add this little anecdote, which is that prior to the iPhone, I had 6 or 7 cell phones. I was an early adopter. I always hated it, but I always had one because at least it meant I didn't have to have a landline phone, too. And the phone I had the longest was a Razr, which I really hated. It's supposed to be a real simple phone, and it's very popular. A lot of people have them. It's just a flip phone. And I never could get the hang of the interface, and I'm not that technically stupid, but after I got the iPhone, and I was bragging to all my friends, like, oh, you know, I can't believe the iPhone can do this, it can do that, it can, you can do conference calling, you can, and my friends would say, what, are you retarded? Your Razr could do that too. And, oh, it could? And I had absolutely no idea, because I'm not one to crack a manual. I usually won't keep a product very long if I have to read a manual. And despite the Razr supposedly being a simpler phone and the iPhone supposedly being this complicated smartphone, I could figure out these features on the iPhone in days where I couldn't figure them out on the Razr in all the time I had it. Didn't even know they existed, let alone not be able to, you know, I just didn't know certain things were even in there.
You know, I read shorter novels than the manual that comes with a Razr. When I pulled that book out, I saw that and I thought, you have got to be fracking kidding me. And I paraphrased slightly. It's horrible. And in comparison, what size is the manual that comes with the iPhone? Oh, that's right. It's a pamphlet.
Right. It's just there's nothing to it. It's just you'll figure it out in about 3 minutes. So I think Bill is going to drop off pretty soon, but we're going to try and move in on the on this next topic real quick here. And for those in the chat room, I'm looking for the link. If I can find the link to that article, I will. But otherwise, it'll be in the show notes. So the next story has to do with the iPhone, and I don't think the iPhone got a lot of press, at least not on our site, and it was sort of overlooked, just overshadowed by the SDK. But during the SDK announcement, there was the iFund announced by Kleiner Perkins, is it Caulfield and Byers, Jeff?
That sounds right.
Okay. So they basically, it's just a big pot of money for this firm to invest in for different companies that want to make iPhone applications. And so the first two applications were announced that they were accepted into the iFund program. And those two applications were Whirl and iControl. And so Whirl has to just touch briefly on what those two applications do. Whirl is sort of like what's that application? It's BrightKite. It's a lot like BrightKite, but it's a native application. So it has a lot to do with social networking based on your location, but it extends further into the ability to sort of rate different places. So if you go to a lot of restaurants or clubs or anything like that, you can say, you know, this is, well, you can review it rather. And your reviews are placed on a map, and that's sort of what the interface is. And so then you can talk, you can share that information with your friends, and you can also figure out where your friends are based on your location. And so if your phone doesn't have the ability to figure out where it is, then you can do the sort of check-in thing that BrightKite allows you to do. But if you do have location awareness built into the phone, like the iPhone does, Whirl will actually let you just sort of update where what your location is. And they haven't really released the application for the iPhone, and they haven't demoed it, but they showed it on a BlackBerry. And basically, that's the basic idea of it. It's location-based places and reviews and interacting with people. So you can say, you know, I'm at this place, you know, figure out where your other friends are, it supposedly updates automatically, or maybe when you open the application. We haven't seen it yet. But the other thing is iControl. And iControl is just basically a home automation for the on the iPhone. So, Jeff, what do you think of this iFund stuff? Is it exciting for the iPhone community? What are your thoughts on the iFund?
I think the iFund. Oh, by the way, when you first started talking about iFund, I thought you were saying iPhone, and I was thinking, what the hell? Your site's about the iPhone. You talk about this all the time. Okay, but anyhow, so I think the iFund is a really cool thing, as long as we see a broad spectrum of applications being funded. If we end up with just a couple programs, if we end up with just potentially commercial applications, I think that's going to be kind of uncool. So as long as we see more applications start to get brought into the whole iFund program, then I think this has the potential to be something very, very cool, because you can have a situation where Joe Programmer in his or her basement can create the next killer application, and they can have the financial backing to make that happen. So I see a lot of potential here, as long as Apple follows through and makes sure that they have a broad spectrum of programs or applications included in the program.
What kind of developers do you think are going to be accepted in here? And I mean, it's really difficult to tell. When I heard this, I thought, okay, this is really good for the little guy who has the great idea but just doesn't have the money for it. And assuming that's what everybody else thought of it.
Right, and then we end up with two commercial applications, essentially.
Right. So what kind of applications would you like to see done with the iFund?
You know, I'd love to see the little guy be able to get that same level of funding so that they can make the next killer app. Now, what is that killer app? Well, I don't know today.
Right.
I know there's some things that I would like to see on the iPhone, and maybe that's one of the programs that would come along. You know, like I'd love to see something that's going to integrate task management better than what we have. Oh, that's right. We don't have anything today. I'd like to see something along those lines. I'd like to see a different email application that adds different functionality than we have today. There's a lot of things that I'd like to see, and I also want to see that program that I can't live without that I haven't thought of. And that's what I'm really hoping comes out of the iFund.
Right.
You know, you get someone to come up with that program, and they show it to you, and you slap your forehead and go, holy crap, how did I get by without this thing? And I'm sitting here with trepidation, because so far we've only seen a couple potentially commercial applications in the iFund, and we're not seeing the little guy coming in with that stellar application yet.
Right. And just to throw in what I think would be an example of a really cool application, I'm getting really excited about the location aware applications. I think that, just seeing the Whirl demo, and I'll put a link to the show notes. There's actually a demo of Whirl on a BlackBerry, and it's kind of neat. Just me playing with Brightkite lately, and even using, Twinkle, that has the location-aware tweets. You know, the iPhone is just going to be a really neat way to open up more social networks, and ones that really allow some great connections, not only in the internet world, but also in real life. You know, because you can say, "Oh, well, my friend is over here, doing whatever. They just tweeted from there. Let's go over there and hang out with them." It seems like it would be a lot more interactive, on more than just the internet level, which is great, because that's what the iPhone is all about. It's about having your everything that you really need when you're out and about, the great things about your Mac with you in your pocket, the internet in your pocket and all of that.
you know, that okay, that's a really great point. And so I'm going to take this kind of to that magical level where everything can be happy and good and no bad things come out of this.
Right.
And okay, so we have the internet, and one of the things about the internet was that it was supposed to bring people together. The irony is that we all have to go sit in our little room with our little computer, and now we're isolated from everyone while we're trying to get connected. And now, with an iPhone in your pocket, with always available internet access, you know, now you can get applications eventually that really tie into that and allow you to have that socializing. So now you can have that internet experience that everyone wants to bring everyone together. But then you can take that barrier down where you have to go and be alone with your computer to be able to connect with people. Now you can actually connect in the real world. And the downside is that someone's going to find a way to abuse this, and someone's going to get hurt, and we'll have to learn lessons and fix it and make things better. But, you know, this is like a really great start towards reintegrating people and using the internet in a way a lot of people were envisioning.
Right. And it's really difficult, like you said, to, you know, bring everybody together when you're sitting in your little room. Granted, there are only so many things you can do while you're out and about, but you know, especially for more local interaction, or, you know, if you're, you know, in your own town, or even doing things like Macworld. That's the big example in my head right now, just simply because my town is so much smaller. I mean, Chicago is pretty close, but it's an hour away. And San Francisco, again, is, you know, such a big city. And, of course, they're plugged in because it's San Francisco. Having the iPhone and things like Twitter and location-aware applications is just something amazing. I see, and I see that being the future for computing, at least on the web. And the iPhone is a really good device for getting us there, because it's so easy to use, like we were talking about. So I'm really excited about that.
All right, now here's a downside to that.
Okay, go.
Everyone gets an iPhone, a BlackBerry, whatever smartphone with their constant internet connection, and now they're using Whirl and Twitter and Brightkite and all these tools to tell everyone where they are, let everyone know what they're doing, and it's all happening in real time. Now everyone's walking down the street looking at their phone all the time instead of talking to the people around them, and pretty soon we have people with these bruises on their forehead all the time from walking into poles and each other and walls. And
well, doesn't that happen already with text messaging and all of that? I mean, people go drive down the street with text messaging, and they're not looking at the at the road. They're looking at their phones.
Okay, yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah,
but then again, there's a lot more. There's a lot more to do on the web. Granted,
that's true. So now we'll just have even prettier phones while we're walking down the street, completely disconnected from everyone around us.
Right. Okay. Moving on to the next story. Let's and just to let everybody know. Bill had to drop off, so he may come back, may not. We'll see.
I think he went to a Hollywood party.
I think he did, too. He said he was going to go do something about an apartment, but I think it has to do with a party. Anyway, next story is about, let's get into some rumor speak. I tried to set up the show with as little rumory stuff as I possibly could, but this one is really interesting, and I want to get both of you your opinions on it. Ideals China is reporting on some pictures that they intercepted of Griffin's next case mold for the next iPhone case. And what makes this interesting? And Jeff, have you seen this?
I have.
Okay,
I have.
And what makes this interesting? And correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like, you know, all of these cases have little holes, not only for the earpiece, but also for the sensors, so the sensors work properly. This case mold has an elongated sensor hole. And what we're assuming this is for, you know, going back to those alleged case specifications that Apple allegedly gave to case makers that said, you know, this is where the new sensors are going to be, and these, you know, this is the basic dimensions of the phone. So we're looking at, we're putting those two things together and assuming that this is for the next iPhone. So, Jeff, you've seen them. What do you think?
You know, everyone is saying, oh, well, we have these new sensors. We're going to have this new camera lens and stuff. And that may very well be. But when I look at those pictures, I also see something that could be something just as simple as Apple has repositioned the sensors so they're all side by side instead of, you know, kind of stacked. And so if they just make that little slit where the earpiece is, or the speaker is for your ear, a little bit longer, then they have a single clean break in the case. The sensors are all exposed and the earpiece thing is exposed, and it's all just one nice little clean thing. So I don't know. I mean, clearly these companies need to have access to some type of specification ahead of time so they can be making accessories when the new iPhone ships. So
you think that they do get access to these sort of things beforehand?
I think that there are probably certain partners, and I'm doing air quotes, certain partners that get access to specifications a little bit early so that they'll have a leg up on other companies, and it wouldn't surprise me if Griffin is one of those.
Yeah.
Now, I say that, and keep in mind that I have no evidence of this, that no one has ever snuck me a note under the table in a smoky bar or whatever saying, hey, Jeff, look, this is really what's going on. This is merely speculation.
Right. So, well, Ed, what do you think about these case designs? Is this something that you think is for the next iPhone, or do you think this is something that's just for the current iPhone?
Well, I'm honestly not sure what to think, but it does look kind of convincing. I mean, if you look down below, I think they have mock-ups of what the case would look like if it were to be made using these molds. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like it has the rounded back that some people were speculating would be on the next iPhone.
Yeah, it does have those the beveled edges. But, you know, from I don't know if they're going from anything else besides these two pictures that I'm looking at here. But I don't see any indication of a beveled edge besides the fact that it's just simply the case is beveled. You know, we're not seeing the inside of the case. We're only seeing the outside curvature of the case. And like we talked about last week, there are cases that look like this.
That's true.
So, and then I also see that there are mock-ups on the bottom of the case. Well, showing the bottom of the case, rather, with these interesting speaker holes in the bottom. I'm at first glance, I would just say that these are for the current generation iPhone. But then again, you have that sensor hole. Now, let's bring it back to, you know, what you were saying, Jeff. Maybe this is for the next iPhone. I do like what you're thinking as far as having, you know, just one elongated cut in the case for the sensors and for the earpiece. That would certainly look a lot better. And I don't have the mock-ups of the alleged mock-ups of the case designs in front of me from a while ago. But if that were to be the case, I think it looks really good. I still don't see Apple putting a camera in the front of the phone. There are definitely phones that have cameras, you know, extra cameras for video chatting. But, you know, after the discussion about, you know, functions versus simplicity, I don't have any doubt that Apple could make something really simple with a camera in the front. But I'm not sure that it's something a lot of people will use. It seems more like one of those features that you just kind of have to promote the phone and not something that you would actually get a lot of use of.
Right. You know, okay, there's two things that I do not think are going to be on the next model iPhone.
Okay.
The first one is a front-mounted camera.
Okay.
And the second one is a GPS.
All right. So why those two things, why don't you think they're going to be there?
Well, first, once you add that extra camera, now you're adding in another level of complexity. And based on the break-aparts that I've seen of the current model iPhones, and okay, keep in mind I'm not a technical engineer, so if I'm way off base, someone let me know, and I'm cool with that. But based on what I've seen from the guts of the current iPhone, I mean, everything's packed really tight.
Yeah.
There's not much room for anything else in there, and I'm just not seeing that extra camera thing, and I'm just not I can't picture Steve Jobs holding an iPhone up in front of his face to talk to someone else
and chatting with Phil, saying, "Hey, I got Phil in the audience with another one of these."
Right, and if I can't picture Steve Jobs doing it, then I can't picture it on the device. And then the thing with GPS, I just don't see that going into the case either, because I don't think Apple wants to make this fatter. They're not about making their products look like they need to go on a diet. And that's pretty much what they'd have to do to add in the GPS and deal with the battery life and all that. However, they know that some people are going to want this, but not everyone. So I think they're going to do exactly what they've done with many of their other products, which is build the hooks into the system so that someone can make a peripheral. And I think we're going to see GPS add-ons, but we're not going to see it built into the device.
Interesting. So you don't think that there's enough room for a GPS? I definitely don't know anything about GPS modules and hardware, but do you think it would be that much more to put in there?
I think it would be that much more, mostly because, well, okay, there's a couple things that have to happen. First, they have to add in a chip that allows for that. And I know you can get really small GPS chips. You can put them in wristwatches and all that. The second thing is you have to add an antenna for that GPS. So now we need to make room for that antenna. And then the third thing is you need to have a beefed up battery, which means probably a bigger battery to add in the extra juice, because I think it's pretty much a given. Next iPhone will have 3G wireless, so we need to have extra juice for that, and then we're going to have to add in more for a GPS. And I think they're going to have to bulk up the case more than Steve would like.
And how many times has Apple come out with a first-generation product, and then the second-generation product is fatter? I don't think they've ever done that.
I've never seen that.
It's always gotten thinner. And they started really thin with the iPhone. Maybe they should have started a little fatter with the iPhone so they could thin it down.
You know, they could have, but
so they could, you know, go with something, you know, add more features and leave it at, you know, what it is now. I'm not saying just, you know, for the sake of thinning it down, but yeah, you get what I'm saying.
Right. And, you know, realistically, I don't think we're going to see much of a change in the iPhone case when the next model comes out.
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree. Ed, what do you think about the about GPS and front cameras?
Yeah, GPS, it'd be great, but we get by without it right now. And it would, you know, like Jeff said, make it too big. The front camera thing, I would, honestly, I've got to say, I would love to have that, but I don't think they're going to do it.
Why?
Probably because it wouldn't fit. I mean, I don't know. But
do you think it would be a technical issue, or do you think it would be a user acceptance issue or a usefulness issue?
Well, technical, and then there's, you know, I'm not sure if anybody really knows the upload speeds of the 3G chips that Apple is going to be putting into the next iPhone, but would it be able to handle two-way video chatting?
Two-way video chatting would be interesting. I know for sure, you know, the current 3G chips that are out there, and if anybody in the chat room knows, I know the current 3G chips out there definitely allow for video upload. I mean, you have services like Quik and, you know, phones like the Nokia N95 that certainly allow for video streaming. I'm not sure about two-way video chatting. It may be one of those Wi-Fi only things that are, I don't think a lot of people enjoy the Wi-Fi only iTunes store. You know, is that something that annoys you guys?
Yes, it annoys me, because I would love to be out just somewhere and a friend says, "Hey, there's this really cool song." I listen to it and I go, "Great, I want to buy that."
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I go find a Wi-Fi connection.
It'd be
cool to be able to download it. Now, I understand with the current speed of edge networks, probably not the way you want to download a song.
And you certainly don't want to download an album either.
No. Certainly not. So, you know, once we have 3G connectivity, and maybe after these upgrades to edge networks get rolled out that really bump up the speed. Okay, great. Now give me that feature. And I would be happy.
I would just love the ability to get into the iTunes store over Edge. And at the very least, you know, have it detect, okay, you're on Edge? Okay, well, I'm going to change all of these buttons in the store that say 99 cents to bookmark, you know?
Okay, that's an acceptable compromise.
That would be absolutely fine for me because I don't want to sit around waiting to download a song, let alone an album. But, you know, for me, and I assume a lot of people, discovering music isn't something that happens when I'm at my computer or when I'm at a Wi-Fi hotspot. You know, it happens all the time. If I'm walking by, if I'm in a shop and I hear something, or if I, you know, hear something on the radio or what have you, it's always happening. So the ability to get into the iTunes store, and there are a lot of different reasons why you know, going back to, two-way video conferencing, I don't think people really appreciate the fact that you have to be at a Wi-Fi hotspot to do these sort of things. So I'm not sure about the 3G thing, but as far as iTunes and all of that goes, I really wish that they could open that up, at least for bookmarking or something like that. You know, when people are out of service areas, they understand. But I think there was actually a video, and this may be pretty old, but there was a video of someone trying the iTunes store over Edge using a Mac sharing an Edge connection, an EVDO card, or no, it wasn't EVDO card. It was, because that would be faster. It was just an Edge connection internet card that was being shared over Wi-Fi. And so obviously the iTunes store says, oh, okay, well, I can do it because I'm on Wi-Fi. And they went into the iTunes store and they were able to browse through it pretty quickly. And it took maybe 3 or 4 seconds for the audio to buffer on the song. But, you know, it worked out. If I could get the ability to, you know, do preview tracks, browse the store, bookmarking over Wi-Fi, that would be great. And I know that we're going to have a new phone coming out, and I'm definitely going to get the 3G version. But I think it's just a really good example of how people don't really want to have something completely crippled when they're not in certain situations, like having a Wi-Fi hotspot. So that was kind of a tangent, but...
All right, well, I have an idea.
Okay.
I'll throw out, since we have iPhone 2.0 coming out, and I'm going to tie this back to stuff we've already talked about.
All right.
The whole world thing, the social wireless thing when you're out and about, why not have some little application that's built in, and when you're, you know, so it's tracking your proximity, and it knows when you're in a certain store, and so, you know, you can say, oh, I really like the song that they're playing on the system. Tag that for me, and then when you get back to your internet connection, your fast internet connection, then you can it just brings it up and it has everything tagged in the iTunes store for you based on what you were listening to and liked when you're out and about, and you didn't have to add extra steps other than to just like tap a little icon on your iPhone just to say I like what I'm listening to right now.
And don't, I think there are a couple phones that right now can listen to what just, you know, ambient audio and try and figure out what the song is it's playing.
You know, there's an application that I played with, it's probably been at least 2 years ago, and it was for the Mac. And yeah, that's just what it did. It would listen to the sound, and you could have it listen to, hold a speaker up to your microphone or whatever, and let it play, and then it would tell you what the song was. And it was a cool technology, and it was relatively accurate. And that was a couple years ago, so I'm assuming that technology has advanced.
Right. Did it work too well? I haven't played with it.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. And as long as I didn't go for some like really obscure song,
mm-hmm, probably all the stuff that I listened to,
would figure it out.
Yeah. Well, that would be great. And I see that as something, you know, that a third party could certainly do. And I'm sure, especially with the media-centric mentality that Mac developers have, there's definitely going to be an application like that because, I mean, the idea is already out there. Well, let's move right along to another topic, and that is Steve Jobs is listed on the. Let's put it this way: Steve Jobs truly invented the friggin' iPhone.
Go well Steve. Said.
Yeah. For those who have no idea why that's funny, you've not read the Fake Steve blog. And that's fakesteve.blogspot.com. And basically his catchphrase has over the years been, I invented the friggin' iPod, have you heard of it? And then, of course, it changed to I invented the friggin' iPhone. And it's this just long-standing joke with Fake Steve. So basically this huge patent filing for the technologies that are found in the iPhone has recently been released, and the most interesting part about this is that the list of inventors on this document lists Steve Jobs as the first person on there out of a long list of various people, but he is number one there. And I don't think I've seen an Apple patent filing with Steve Jobs' name on it. Have you, Jeff?
I think I have.
Okay.
Okay, I know that companies do this where they'll take someone like in Apple's case, Steve Jobs, and put their name on the patent as well. So it's not like this is the first time this has ever happened.
No, yeah.
And I don't think it's likely that Steve Jobs is sitting back in the little cubicle farm where the guys were working on circuit board designs and all that, you know, with his little sketch pad out going, well, we need to reroute this little thingy over here, otherwise we're going to have a feedback through the flux capacitor. You know, he's not doing that.
No, yeah. But I can certainly see that he's had a great influence on it. And, you know, through the, there was an article from, what was it? Was it Wired that chronicled the birth of the iPhone? Was it Wired, Jeff?
I think it was Wired.
Okay, there was a great article on that. And basically, it says, you know, that Steve Jobs was really the person who was pushing for the iPhone. So I don't have any doubts that, you know, Steve had a lot of influence on the iPhone's creation. I just think it's absolutely funny, just mainly because I'm a big Fake Steve fan. I actually have the Fake Steve Jobs book, which was
funny. It's sitting on my shelf right now. I can see it from here.
Yeah, I have it on my shelf too. Actually, someone was borrowing it, and I got upset every time I thought about it. But yeah, that was just completely entertaining to me. There's not a lot of news there, but for anybody who knows about Fake Steve, there it is. And I sent it to Fake Steve and let him know that, you know, it's official that he invented the friggin' iPhone. So there you go.
And I'm sure he replied back in his usual eloquent way to let you know, of course I did.
Right.
Yeah.
That wasn't really any news, but there is a lot of, there's some exciting news. There was a 10.5.3 update for, and I know that a majority of our users are, or the readers, rather, are Windows people. But for our Mac users, there was a 10.5.3 update for Leopard, and it added an interesting little feature. There were some stuff for people who are developers for this next version of the SDK that was released this week requires the 10.5.3, but there was something great for the users as well. And in Address Book, there is now the ability to synchronize your address book with Google, because of course you have a contacts list in your Gmail application, but there's no real bridge between the Google contacts and your address book. And this is good because if you're on the iPhone, you probably want to prefer you use the mail application on the phone instead of bringing up the web page. It's just quicker. So I think it's a pretty interesting feature, because I like to use the web interface for Gmail on my desktop. But like I said, it's quicker on the iPhone to use the mail application. So I haven't had a lot of use out of this. But Jeff, do you even use Gmail?
I have a Gmail account set up, but I never use the web interface for it.
You're a mail person.
Yeah, I use mail, and then on the iPhone also, I'm checking it through mail. So, you know, for me, this feature being added in, not that big of a deal.
Not that. See, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but what were you going to say?
I think it's an important deal, though, because we've already had the Yahoo syncing thing.
Yep.
And now we've added in the Google syncing thing. So
now there's also,
in that respect, it's important.
There's also support for Exchange in there. And
right.
Has that been, is that new for this update, or was that in there before?
That was in there already.
Okay, gotcha. Ed, what do you think about this?
I think it's awesome. I rely heavily on Gmail, and it's I found it to be useful.
So I think we both sort of grew up using, well, not really grew up, but started when we got serious about email, rather, Ed and I both used the Gmail web interface. So mail isn't something that really appeals to at least myself. You know, I think it would be cool if it had a little better integration with Gmail, because I would like a desktop client, but I tend to use the web interface for Gmail. But it's not that big of a deal because, you know, I have most of the contacts that I actually want to email from my phone are already in my address book. And if they're not, then 99% of the time it's someone that I'm replying to, so it doesn't matter anyway. So that's not that big of a deal. But on the same sort of note, there's also been this speculation that .Mac is going to get this huge revamp. It's going to be completely changed. And for those of you who don't know what .Mac is, it's just basically Apple's way of connecting Mac users to like a central web hub. Jeff, do you want to explain .Mac? You probably have a better grasp of it, because I don't use a lot of .Mac, and I know that you've been covering it for years.
Okay. So, all right. So .Mac, think of it as sort of like an online nexus, where you can have all this content, whether it's backed up data, it's websites, it's whatever content you want to have. And then it's also a place where you can synchronize information privately. So, you know, like, let's say you have two computers and you want to make sure you have the same information on both. You can have files synchronized, you can have contacts and bookmarks and all of that synchronized. And it can happen in the background.
And that's my favorite part about .Mac, is the synchronization between multiple Macs.
Right. Yeah, which is a very cool feature. If you have multiple Macs, then it also has a backup application, which, by the way, I think is actually a great little program. Believe it or not, I'm actually using backup as part of my daily backup routine.
Ah,
yeah, so to me, that's worth the price right there, just for the backup software. But you know, so you have this internet connected thing that lets you store this information and back things up and build websites and all that. Oh, and by the way, there's an email address thrown in. That's like the at the bottom of my list is the email part.
Okay, so back to the whole changing thing. For the most part, there are a lot of naysayers of .Mac. They're not a lot of people are happy with it, because it just doesn't seem like the $99 a year price tag is really worth what .Mac brings you. And I think we talked about .Mac as a possible synchronization extension to the iPhone, so you can sync your iPhone to .Mac, which in turn syncs to your Mac, and I would assume if syncing with .Mac is coming to the iPhone, some sort of .Mac sync client will also come to the PC. But the idea here is that .Mac is going to be completely revised and renamed MobileMe, and it's going to add a lot of these iPhone features. So, Jeff, have you covered this at all?
Yeah, a little bit. And excuse me. And I really, really hope we get a lot of tightly integrated iPhone features, because I would love to be able to have my iPhone out with me anywhere I go, and then, you know, like, let's say someone needs to sit at my computer at my desk in my office and they need to add new contacts or change appointments for me, something like that, I can get all that information pushed out to my iPhone. And then if I need to make a change when I'm out on the road, I can do that. And then my calendar updates at my desk. And so if someone needs to be checking that, they know that I've made changes. I would love to have that interactivity without having to, you know, like go to Exchange servers and stuff like that. So I'd love to see those features show up. What I really, really hope is that they do not call it Mobile Me.
Okay.
I think that's a lame name, but, you know, that's just
me. I agree. I think it's pretty stupid.
But, I think it's strange. And honestly, the way that it looks, it may not, you know, they may not be changing .Mac itself as a whole to MobileMe, but they may be adding this sort of extension to it, the iPhone end, and they'll be calling it MobileMe.
Well, it makes sense for the .Mac name to go away, because this is not, assuming that all these iPhone features are rolled in, because it at that point it's no longer a Macintosh or Mac OS X specific set of services.
Right.
It's a cross-platform set of services, and we've already seen a little bit of that because Apple makes a client that allows Windows XP users to access iDisk, which is a remotely mountable storage system.
Right.
So, you know, we already have that. And then if we roll in this tight iPhone support, the name .Mac just doesn't seem to be correct anymore.
Right. I would have to agree. And I think the way that they would roll this in, and I certainly don't think that they would exclude PC users just by our own, analyzation of our traffic at the site. There are certainly, I think there are more PC users on the iPhone than there are Mac users. So I definitely think that they're going to be, they're going to add the extension possibly to iPhone, or not to iPhone, iTunes rather, to let the synchronization happen for PC users as well. And we've talked about it before. I think it would be excellent. At least, in my case, I would, I don't plug my iPhone into my computer every single day, just because it takes too long to sync, all the stuff, as far as music goes, and I just don't want to sync it every single day. But I'm always on my Mac, and I'm always changing things in my address book or in my calendar or what have you. And the ability to just have the iPhone magically know about those changes without me even having to think about it. And that is the great thing about .Mac and synchronization. That is the big killer feature for me.
Yeah, that is really cool. And, I find it interesting that you don't sync your iPhone every single day. I come from my history with handheld devices goes back to the message pad, and I was a Palm handheld user for years, and my first Palm actually said Palm Pilot on it. It was before Pilot Pen sued them and they had to change their name. But anyhow, at that point in the game, if you didn't plug your Palm into your computer and do a hot sync, you didn't have all your information.
Yeah.
And so it was so critical for me to have all of my data with me in my pocket that if I was near my computer, my Palm went into its cradle and I hit the hot sync button. And I'm still to a degree like that with my iPhone, but I would love to hook up my iPhone only like when I wanted to change music and then have everything else happen just through the magic of the interwebs. That would be really cool.
I would agree. I think it would be, there's no reason to have it sync up music and podcasts and all of that over the web. But certainly the data is definitely something that would be great. Even backups over the web. And I know that backups right now encompass the, your camera roll as well. Maybe they'll add backing up as well, but something I think that would be important for them to add, if you're syncing over the web, because people are so used to having it, it's already synced, it doesn't even matter. Who knows about backups? But certainly the contacts information, calendars, and all of that, straight up data, would be great to be synchronized over the web.
That would be very cool.
Ed, do you use .Mac at all, or do you... I mean, you only have one computer, right?
Yeah. No, I don't use .Mac right now. Although, if they do end up adding integration for the iPhone, I definitely will be. That'd be a selling point for me.
Yeah, and you know, on the topic of .Mac getting a significant overhaul, I definitely see it coming. Just from personal experience, I know some people who work on the .Mac team, and I'm not going to go into too much detail because they will hate me. But they've been working just insanely. They've just been working for months, just extremely hard. I have no idea what they've been working on. It's obviously .Mac related. But it, you know, it hasn't made a lot of sense to me how hard they've been working on whatever it is for this amount of time when it's just, you know, .Mac. So these rumors to me, that .Mac is going to get a big change, really works, fits well with all this work that this, that the .Mac team, is doing right now. So I definitely think it's coming.
You know, I think that they're part of the .Mac thing might be a little more interesting than a lot of people are realizing. And just to throw out for speculation, look at the timing we have for all of these .Mac change rumors to crop up and what type of time frame we potentially would be looking at for an announcement. And everything kind of points to Worldwide Developer Conference. Well, why would you announce this consumer-based set of services that are just kind of there? Why would you announce that at Developers Conference? Right. It doesn't make sense. Unless Apple is going to open up .Mac in some way so that developers can write add-on modules for the, for whatever their specific thing is that they want to make .Mac do. And then in that case, it would totally make sense to announce it at Developers Conference. And then it means that .Mac is limited only by the needs of users and the creativity of developers.
Very cool. That I like that, that idea. So you think it would be something for the developers that are working right now on iPhone applications that would want to have special hooks into some way to synchronize information across the web.
Right.
You know, for things like, I don't know, let's say OmniFocus.
Wouldn't that be cool? And the Omni group developers have said that they are working on a version of OmniFocus for the iPhone.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So, you know, and I actually heard that from the developers. They, you know, they said, yeah, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's really cool. And so, yeah, wouldn't that be cool to have an application like OmniFocus have just, instead of just a synchronizing feature, have some very interactive feature that works in conjunction with .Mac and your computer at home?
Absolutely. And, you know, the big thing with OmniFocus is in the whole, you know, GTD thing is that you want to have like a note card in your pocket or something like that. Whenever you think of something new that you need to accomplish, you need to be able to enter that into your trusted system immediately. So it's, you know, it's out of mind and you can continue on with things and getting other things done. And, you know, when it comes to that thing that you need to do, that new thing that you've entered, it just appears in your organization tool. So I think that would be, you know, just one great example of, you know, a use for synchronizing information over .Mac for third-party developers. And I'm not sure about how it works on the Mac right now, but things like Yojimbo, I know, can sync over .Mac. Is that true?
I'm not a big Yojimbo user, so I'm not 100% sure how that works. However, I do know that there are add-ons that let you synchronize like to web servers. And so then you can do a web interface to get back at information. And actually, Delicious Library 2 just came out, and it does the same thing. And it uses .Mac for that. And so you can have your library of movies and books and whatever, and then have this website created on your .Mac account, so then you can use your iPhone to keep track of all of the movies or books or whatever you have, so you don't buy the same ones over again.
Yeah.
And it's just building a website for you.
Yeah, and you know, obviously more integration. If developers had access to the MobileMe, you know, framework, let's say on the iPhone, then you wouldn't even have to worry about creating a website on your .Mac. You could just, you know, for the Delicious Library client on your iPhone, you could just have it synced up to the Delicious Library client on your Mac and, you know, have it like that. I think that would be extremely useful to people to have .Mac synchronization with the iPhone as a mobile device.
That would be very cool.
I think it would be great. So on that note, I'm just going to, everybody listening in TalkShoe, I know we have, I think, one or two people who are actually set up with, you know, who are called in and the ability to talk. If you would like to call in and ask us a question or bring up a news topic that we haven't discussed, you can call in using Gizmo Project or Skype, or you can use just a landline phone to call in and ask us a question or what have you. Just queue up to talk if you would like to, using the TalkShoe client. And we'll get to calls in a moment. And right now we're going to do our iPhone picks of the week. Jeff, what do you have for us?
My iPhone pick of the week doesn't actually exist yet.
Okay.
But if it did, this would so be my real, like tangible iPhone pick of the week. All right. So someone that's listening out there, find the person that can make this, and I will be so happy, and I'll write articles about it, and I'll sing your praises. I want someone to design a little plug that goes into my headphone jack on my iPhone, because I don't use my iPhone as an iPod that much, which means it's in my pocket, and that headphone jack is a lint collector. And I wanted to put something in there that looks nice on my iPhone, and I can just leave in there most of the time.
So you want to go naked with your iPhone. You don't want a case.
Well, the case I have, it's just a little sleeve.
Uh-huh.
And so it's open on the top so that I can just drop the iPhone in or take it out. And it, you know, it works really well. But since there's nothing that's blocking the headphone jack, well, I want something that does that.
Gotcha.
So someone make that and then let me know when you have it so that I can tell the rest of the world that it's out there.
Well, there is no more perfect segue to my iPhone pick of the week. It is not just it's not a little plug that you would sit in there, but I was going to let Ed go first, but it's, you know, it's the correct time to talk about this.
Go for it.
My iPhone pick of the week, it's two things, but it's from the same company. My pick is the iPhone Defender case from the folks at OtterBox. And thing is really cool. When I got these, I got two cases from them. And this one, the Defender case, I like to call it the scuba suit, because it's it protects the iPhone almost completely. And the way that this works, and I have a review up on the site, the review did go up and there was something wrong with our caching, and throughout the whole madness of updating the site, that it didn't show up, but I'm getting that sorted out. It'll eventually come up, and I think Bill is going to join us again. Let me see here.
How exciting.
Yeah.
It's been so quiet without him.
It's been so quiet without Bill. Let me try and add him in here. Ringing, ringing, ringing. Bill! Are you still there?
Hello?
Hi. We're on our iPhone picks of the week right now. You there? Okay.
Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we're on our iPhone picks of the week.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just working on mine, and then we'll call on you next.
Cool.
But so this the iPhone Defender case, basically it consists of two different pieces. The inner portion is a plastic hard shell, and it comes together at it's two different separate pieces, and they lock together. And unlike other, you know, maybe acrylic cases and all of that, this thing is really really rugged. And when you snap those two pieces together, you're going to have to use a coin or something to get this thing apart. You know, because if you use your nail, you're gonna hurt yourself. But it's a really rugged plastic, and the great thing about this plastic is, you know, there are a few openings in the phone where you need to get at, for example, the screen. So you can have plastic covering the screen. So what Otter has done, OtterBox, they have a thin clear membrane covering that spot. So they don't just simply include a little protective shield. It's an actual thing, part of the case. And so you can use the phone through this, and it's completely protected. And so the camera and the little Apple logo, you can also see on the back of the case as well. And then there are the little foam covers for the earpiece, and then another one of those little membranes over the sensor ports. So it's completely covered except for the headset jack and the dock. Right then, there are even little grills over the speaker and the microphone. So then, on top of that, you actually put a silicone skin over that, and that gives you little nubs for controlling the volume control and hitting the home button and the power button. And this is actually what covers up the headset jack and the dock connector. So you can uncover those when you need to use them, and you can cover them up when you don't need to use it. It's extremely tough, you know. It's not going to be waterproof, but it's dirt proof completely. And it's not bad once you get it all assembled. It doesn't look bad at all. It's just one solid piece, and it's really cool. And my other pick is from OtterBox as well, and it's their iPhone Armor case. And that's basically, I call that the, this other one was the scuba suit, and this one is the space suit. So whenever you bring your iPhone into space, you can use this. And basically the idea with this one is that it's waterproof, and you can still use your iPhone through it. There is a headset jack pass-through. There are little you know, amazing grills. I don't know how they do this, but these grills let sound out to an extent, but they don't let water in. It can't go down, you know, 100 feet underwater, because the water will eventually start coming through. But you can totally use your phone through this thing. It's completely waterproof. It's awesome. It's OtterBox.com, the iPhone Armor case and Defender case. Those are my my two picks. Jeff, have you seen the Defender case?
I have.
Okay.
You know, I'm familiar with OtterBox products. I've played with them off and on over the years for different things. They make some really cool and amazingly durable products.
Yeah, they're you know, they're completely great for people who are, you know, who have active lifestyles, who, you know, actually leave the house, unlike us. Although Jeff, you did leave the house tonight.
You know, I used BrightKite to prove it today.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it's always depressing when I look at the BrightKite and it says you've been here for 3 days. So,
well, I haven't updated my location, so for a while. So I think it says that I've been in the same place for like 18 days now or something.
Well, you know, you only figure out where you are if you update it. So, and that's one of those problems with BrightKite. I hope that they address where it's a little more automatic than it is right now. And that's when I think I'll be using it. But the OtterBox stuff is really cool. Ed, what
yes.
is your iPhone pick of the week?
My pick is a web app.
All right.
And it is called TokTok, I believe. It's TokTok. And it is a web interface for Google's language translation tool. So it's basically, it's built using Google's API, and you can type in, you know, whatever little text you have from wherever you are and decide what language you want it to translate to and from, and click the translate button, and you get the text translated into the language you want.
It's Ajax.
It's a Babelfish for your iPhone.
Yes. And it's really Ajax-y and really quick on the iPhone?
It is very quick, yeah.
Excellent.
I like it.
So it's TokTok?
Yeah, I'll send you a link.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes. Do you know if it's TokTok.com or...
I don't think that's it. I think it's something else.
Well, check the show notes.
tippytops.net/iPhone/talktalk.
Okay. So if you didn't get that, check the show notes. Bill, what is your iPhone pick of the week?
You know, at first I just need to point out that that may be the first time in podcasting history that someone left a podcast, signed a lease on an apartment, came back and got back in for it. I feel like
congratulations.
Superman, you know? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I got to move in the morning. But
awesome.
Anyway, I do have a pick, and this could have come in handy when I momentarily was sick earlier this week. There's a site called Adam.com, just like Adam Christensen. If he was here, I could pick on him. It's a health symptom self-diagnosis site. These things have been around since the internet went commercial, but this one just went iPhone specific, and it's iPhone.adam.com, and the navigation feels a lot like the iPhone.facebook.com. It's
Ooh.
Kind of a similar layout. So we can all go be hypochondriacs on our iPhones now and diagnose ourselves with all these things we don't really have.
Well, I'll definitely check that out because I like the Ajax-y fluid interface of Facebook. So if it's like that, I'll definitely enjoy it. See, it's really, does it do the little swooshes and all that stuff that makes me happy?
I'll let it be a surprise. It's inspired by the Facebook page. I won't say that it's all that close to it necessarily.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so we don't have anybody waiting to talk. So we're just going to...
We scared him off,
we
didn't
scared we? Them off. I think that Bruce was connected earlier with his microphone, but we don't have anybody waiting to talk, which is fine. So, but everybody was chatting in the chat room, and someone, Ed's link was tippytops.net/iPhone/talktalk. But I think we'll wrap it up. We don't have anybody else to talk, unless you guys have anything else to bring up. Once again, Mr. Bill Palmer, joining us from iProng Magazine. What's the who's on the cover for the next edition of iProng?
Crosby, Stills, and Nash is next. We didn't do an issue last week, so when I announced that one last week, it was actually for next week. I can give you the one after that if you really want it.
Sure.
You got to beg.
Sorry?
You got to beg me.
Please tell me.
All right, it's Alanis Morissette.
Okay.
There you go.
So it's iProng.com. That's where you can get iProng magazine. And Bill, what's your Twitter?
Twitter.com/Bill Palmer. I wanted to keep it a secret, you know, real clandestine.
It's the best way to do it. You know, on Twitter, if you're using some sort of weird alias, you're in the minority. So it's good. That's what I do, too. So thanks for coming on, Bill.
You use twitter.com/Bill Palmer too? How does that work?
No.
I'm in a mood today.
Yeah, you're in a mood to do that. So you can find Jeff Gamet at the Mac Observer every weekday, right?
Yes, you can. Monday through Friday, I'm there, rain or shine.
MacObserver.com.
MacObserver.com and iPodObserver.com. Yep, I'm there.
And and you're also on Twitter at twitter.com/JGamet, right?
Right, that's JGAMET. The reason it's shorter is because, well, I got lazy and just didn't put the rest of the letters in for my first name.
It works. Anything else you want to mention? Any other places to go to check you out? You have that design website.
Oh, right, yeah. So there's Design Tools Monthly. And so if you're a designer or if you're interested in design in any way, go check that out. And if you just can't get enough of my voice, Apple Weekly Report, I do that every week with Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief from Mac Observer. And I also do Design Tools Weekly, which is a design-related podcast, and I do that with Jay Nelson. So there's plenty of my voice out on the internet for good or ill.
Yeah, definitely check that out. I'm going to have to check those out too. I haven't actually listened to the Mac Observer's other podcast. You know, I certainly listen to the Mac Geek Gab because I work on it every week, but I haven't actually listened to the other one. So I will definitely check that out.
Mac Geek Gab is a really cool podcast, and I'm not saying that because it's part of Mac Observer. I'm saying it because it's true. It's a really cool podcast. So
yeah,
you know, go listen to that.
Yeah, definitely. MacGeekGab.com. Or not. Is it that? Yeah, you can get to it from MacGeekGab.com. I think it forwards you. Yeah, MacGeekGab.com. And that's an awesome Mac Geek podcast, and I work on the I do the enhancements for it. So there's Dave's plug, and I'm sure he'll be happy that I did that for him. And lastly, we have our own Edward Kirk, and he can be found every single day on iPhoneAlley.com and also on Twitter.com/EdKirk, right?
Yep.
Great. So Ed's always he's always doing an amazing job on the website. He's a great help, and I'm hopefully going to jump back in as soon as I get all the bugs out of iPhone Alley 3 and jump back in and put some reviews and tips up and help maybe let you get out of the house. And I can cover some news. That'll be great.
All right, so I have to just jump back in real quick. I just checked Twitter, and someone started following me somewhere along the way during the recording tonight. So if it's someone that is listening tonight, hey, thanks for following, you rock.
That's awesome. Well, let's see if it happens to me. I am twitter.com/MichaelJohnston.
If the same person followed everyone on the show tonight except Michael, that would really be lame.
I'd be entertained by that. I'd be a little sad, but I'd be entertained. So, please follow me. And that's all. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Follow him.
Please follow me on Twitter. I don't have anything else. Bandwidth for the iPhone LA podcast is provided by the amazing folks at CashFly. That's CashFly.com. And, of course, for the latest iPhone news, tips, and reviews every day, check out iPhone Alley, the newly redesigned iPhoneAlley.com, and show notes are at iPhoneAlley.com/podcast. If you have any questions or comments or any feedback at all that you'd like to send to us, it's the email address is podcast@iPhoneAlley.com, and go to iTunes. Check us out on iTunes. Write us a review. You know, we love to see those. I think we have maybe 6 reviews so far on the podcast, and I'm sure that means something to someone else besides us. You know, when they see that it's 5 stars, and we're actually on the Apple TV right now in the new and notable section for technology, so that rocks.
Wow, go you!
Yes, I took a picture. It's something I've never seen before, and I like to see that we're up in the mix with all the big boys, at least in the new and notable section. So hopefully that gets us some new subscribers. And speaking of subscribers, make sure you're subscribed. If you're downloading the podcast right now from the website, that's awesome. But we would love to have you subscribe, and you can do that on the link on the page at iPhoneAlley.com/podcast. And tell your friends, certainly. Do that. If you know someone who likes the iPhone, tell them about the podcast and the website. So I think that's it. Another episode of the iPhone Alley podcast is out the door.
An iPod. A phone.
Everybody else should follow us too.
Because we have so many incredibly witty and insightful things to say.
Out for coffee.
How are we going to communicate this?
Back home.
You know, and I'm sure that there's lots of people out there that are just totally addicted to hearing me talk about how bees bounce off the window of my office.
A stylus, right?
I know that Chuck Joyner lives. We're going to use a stylus. To hear me talk about the bees.
No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Who wants a stylus?
Made up.